If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Contrary to popular belief, I do care about other pop culture topics outside of Bravo and reality TV, so we're broadening our scope a bit on this episode. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have Josh Duboff, who used to be a senior writer at Vanity Fair, and he hosted a podcast for them, and now he is the author of Early 30s, which is a great new novel, which comes out tomorrow, March 18th, available to pre-order now if you're listening to this on the day this episode comes out. While Josh isn't a big Housewives guy, he does know a lot about pop culture and celebrities, and he's interviewed everyone from Taylor Swift to Gwyneth Paltrow and beyond. And he also wrote this article about the Kardashians during his time at Vanity Fair towards the end of Keeping Up with the Kardashians run. And I still think about that article a lot, and I bring it up in our talk, and it sort of uses as a jumping off point to talk about where that family is now, the status of their current show. He really, really knows his stuff, and he's written some really great celebrity journalism. And we started our conversation off talking about his time working in celebrity journalism and online media and kind of comparing notes, because I have also obviously done that for a lot of my career. And we talked about some changes that we have observed there, which is also pertinent because one of the main characters in Early 30s, his book, works in a very similar role to what Josh did at Vanity Fair. So it's also core to the book. And then after that, we got into the Kardashians. We talked about Alex Earl, Meghan Markle, and more celebrities, and sort of how all of those people reflect some of the changes that we've observed in how celebrities are covered, in what celebrities share with the world, and more. It was a really interesting chat. I'm also really curious if you'd want to have more sort of sporadic episodes like this that aren't specifically about Bravo or Real Housewives, and more kind of broader celebrity in general. It's still part of my wheelhouse, and it wouldn't replace any of the Bravo coverage, don't worry. But I do like sometimes kind of stepping out of that purview. So I want to know if you enjoy episodes like this, because it was really fun to do, and I hope you like it. So keep listening for my chat with Josh Duboff. Depending on when you're listening to this, pre-order or order his book, Early 30s, wherever you get your books. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back tomorrow with our usual Tuesday episode. This one will be about Summer House and Southern Charm. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Josh Duboff, who is a writer and author of Early 30s, which is out March 18th, wherever you get your books. He is a former senior writer at Vanity Fair as well. So we have a lot of pop culture and media stuff to talk about. We have celebrity stuff to talk about today. Josh, thank you for being here. I love the book. I really appreciate it. I'm sure you're very busy. How are you?
I'm so excited to chat with you, Gibson. I'm great.
Clearly, it's obviously a novel, but it's clearly pulled from your own experience. You know, for me, reading some of the stuff that happens in Victor, the main character's career, it's very much my life too. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you very much capture what it was like working at these media companies, sort of like in that BuzzFeed boom, the early Trump years, sort of where like there was the Facebook video push. Like there was just like all this stuff happening where it was a very specific moment to be working at these companies. Was it fun to sort of mine that experience and mine that kind of part of your career for this book?
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I feel like that you're definitely in a similar, career trajectory of me where we were in these kind of surreal, strange, exciting, glamorous, confusing situations quite often. And in some of these rooms you're in and some of these parties, and it's like really exhilarating and you're kind of amped up. But at the same time, you can sometimes leave and have this sort of like deflated feeling. There's like so many emotions that go into these kind of when you're, in the celebrity journalism, even just the New York media or media space. So yeah, I definitely, as you mentioned, I was at Vanity Fair for 6 years. Before that, I wrote for New York Magazine for a bit and other publications in that period you're talking about, which was like, it felt like a bit of a different era. There was this so much more, I mean, it's similar now in some ways, but I feel like it definitely felt in my, especially in my like mid to late 20s when I was kind of first starting out, that it was kind of, there was just a kind of general, maybe more, I don't know, a fun to be had is the wrong way of putting it, but there was just definitely more kind of like energy about certain things. And I think it was, exciting. And I feel like during my time there, I don't know if I was ever like, oh, I'm going to be like, writing all this, on my observations down in an iPhone note to like write a novel later per se. But I definitely think on some level I was like, oh, like taking it all in. And then when I left Vanity Fair, which was like in 2019, I think, and I started kind of deciding I wanted to try, putting my thoughts together into like a novel book form project. I was like, oh, this is something, I just have a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of observations, a lot of kind of, feelings about what it was like kind of being in that sort of career track. And it definitely is reflected, primarily in, as you mentioned, Victor's kind of narrative through line through the book. But it was really fun to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure because, as you said, it was sort of like you would find yourself in these moments where you're like, for example, at my office, I worked at AOL. That was my first job. And like, I was just I was just a writer, but they had this interview series called AOL Build that happened 100 feet away from my desk. And so every day a celebrity would just walk by like 5 times a day with their entourage. And it was like, 8 a.m. here comes Matthew McConaughey and Reese Witherspoon. Like, hey, guys, and it's like, all right, now back to writing.
And now back to your post. Like, completely. And like, there's a weird, I remember so specifically, I just started at Vanity Fair and they were like, oh, can you head to this red carpet? Remember when Kendall and Kylie Jenner were doing, it was like a PacSun collab.
Yes.
Like they were doing something. I forget if they were like, I don't even know if they were designing or if it was just like a collaboration with PacSun or something, but they were like going to be doing a red carpet. And they were like, oh, Josh, like, can you go to this red carpet? And you're going to get one question for Kylie, one question for Kendall. And I just remember being in this like packed throng of like, it must have been like 100. I'm sure you've been in a million of these scenarios. And like, there's like 100 kind of people like, and we're all clamoring to get. And it was literally like, I think there were like 15 and 16 at the time. And like, and we're all just like holding out our microphones. And I remember like, I was like agonizing. And it was like the highlight of my like month to like kind of like have this one question to Kylie and one question to Kendall. And then, yes, you like, it happens. And then you're kind of like, what was that? Like you black out almost.
Yep.
It's like, and then you go back to like, and then you have to run to your computer, write up your,
be the first one to write it. Yeah.
Be the first one to get the, like, I remember so specifically one of the people, it was like, we all kind of pooled together to like all ask one question in some way. And it was like, what's like your favorite emoji? I think that's what we asked them. Ooh. And it was like literally all of us exactly like running their computer to be the first one to write like, what is Kylie Jenner's favorite emoji? Which like ends up getting a lot of pickup and clicks. Like,
I'm sure it did.
That ecosystem is just so funny. And I do think I tried to reflect some of that in the novel. But I think like, it's just there's such a funny, it's almost like a, you have to have like a sense of humor about it, I think, or otherwise you kind of.
Yeah,
like,
you have to like simultaneously take it seriously because it's your job. And like, you do, I do care a lot about these people like that. That's just, I always have. Yeah. But you also have to realize that it's not that serious. It's like a really weird balance between those two things. And I don't know if we always strike it, but like, as long as you have some of that sort of self-effacing awareness, I think it's okay.
And I think it's important, you know, I've definitely been, as you do, like love this stuff. And I think that it kind of makes it, I think it's important in a way. I don't know. I feel like it's really hard to like, you know, be in the weeds with this stuff and not love it. I feel like, I don't know. And like, you have to kind of, as much as I said, like, oh yeah, like after you write up the post and it's kind of like deflating, you still have to kind of like love the game. And like, I still love it. Like, it's still like, you know, I was really excited to get like any time with Kendall and Kylie and like get that experience and be able to like synthesize later for my friends. Like, what were they like? Like, what was their vibe? What was the demeanor? Like, what were they saying? Like, what did their like interactions together seem like? There's so much you can like, if you're a fan of it, I feel like it makes it obviously more fun, but also just like, I think it actually makes you like better at the job too, because you actually are like picking up on certain things in a way. I'm sure like, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this, but it's like when you're in a room with like Bravo stars or whatever, I'm sure you're picking up on things that like no one else is going to pick up on because you've just
right. And some of it is just for my own awareness and like, oh my God, like I can't believe I like picked up on that. But I think it's, there's something you get at, especially early in the book, as sort of the sort of tension between Zoe and Victor sort of starts to show itself, and you're at dinner with her and her fiance, or sorry, Victor is at dinner with the couple. And like, you know, they're talking about, he's a lawyer, and like, they're kind of like in this, like they're engaged, they're about to get married. They're in this very sort of like serious point in their lives where they take like this next step very seriously. And like, this is very early 30s where like, in your late 20s, you're sort of more or less a lot on the same page with a lot of your friends. But in your early 30s, which is obviously the title of the book, it's like things start to splinter. You know, some people are off having kids and getting married. And like, some people are also like still chugging along with their jobs. And like, that is their main focus. And some people are like, everyone's on a different path. And I think that begins to show itself a lot more in this period, which you're really capturing here. But I specifically think about that dinner scene because, as it relates to what we're just talking about, because we take this stuff so seriously. And like in that scene, there's almost like this awkwardness because Victor cares so much about like his job. And like, he's about to interview Kate Hudson and he pulls up a Bella Hadid Instagram. And it's like, he cares so much about this stuff. And they like are so dismissive of it because he's a lawyer, you know, and there's this like imbalance of something. I don't really know what the word is, but I think you capture that again very well because I experience that every single day.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that resonated for you, because that was exactly my intent. That was definitely, I mean, and that dinner scene was one of the first things I feel like I cracked with the kind of like journey that Zoe and Victor are going to go on together, because it's exactly what you said. I was hoping for that kind of effect of like, because I do think you're right, like in your 20s, everyone more or less, obviously there's a few people who veer off, but everyone's kind of in the same boat. It's like, we're all trying to like, we're partying a lot. We're all trying to like figure out what we're doing. No one's in that, you know, people are maybe starting to get in serious relationships, but not necessarily. So, you know, people are kind of figuring it all out career-wise as well. People are jumping around, but then it does feel, at least in my experience, what felt like happened in my early 30s was that it really starts to splinter, where it's like, you have your friends who like get married, have kids, move upstate, move to Jersey. Then you have I'm specifically talking about New York, but like it starts feeling like people just veer off more, and it starts to feel like it's harder to keep some of those friendships
and
kind
to
of
connect.
Intact. Yeah, completely. And I've been in so many situations in my 30s where it was like, you know, I'd be like visiting my friend who just had a kid, and I'll be like, exactly, recounting my interview with Gigi Hadid or something. And it's like, they're like dealing with their kid. And it's like, it is like, they're just, you know, they're paying attention. They're curious. They're wonderful friends. They're still my dear friends. But it's like, there's definitely this funny sense where I'm like, why does this matter at all? When you have like a child, you're trying to like, but like, it does matter to me. It's like
it's how you make a living.
Completely. So there is, but I think that kind of juxtaposition was certainly something I was trying to play with throughout the book, but yeah, definitely in that first scene too, because I feel like that the dinner scene, because I do feel like that was kind of where you like start to see where maybe they're trying hard to kind of keep it together as like it used to be for them, but then maybe things are starting to feel a little bit more
sprouted. And that's something, it's also Victor does it in the moment, he sort of like downplays what he's doing to make a living. And like, I find myself doing that where I'm like, oh, I host a podcast about like reality TV and Bravo and pop culture and Real Housewives. And it's like, to, so I know when I'm talking to some people, like I know what they're thinking in their mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also I don't give a fuck because like, that is how I make money. So like, you know what I mean? It's like this weird thing where like you have to calibrate it, but.
And how fun and cool that you get to like work in a profession. Like you love this stuff. You get to like such a fun job. I feel like it's way more, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like, but it is, it's funny. Yeah.
And a little bit more about sort of like the media era that you captured in this book. Did you have that notes app that you talked about? You actually had a full notes app worth of observations from that time, or like
it wasn't quite
okay
specific. I mean, it was all more like notes in my head sort of thing. Like, I think definitely. I used to actually have a podcast on that Vanity Fair where like Julia Miller and I, my co-host, who's a dear friend still now, but we would like kind of do a lot of actually a bit of what we're talking about, where we would like go to events, but then on the podcast we would talk more about like what it was like behind the scenes, or what kind of it felt like. It was a little more like, it wouldn't necessarily be the stuff we would infuse our coverage on the site with, but it was more a chance for us to like Gab, like your podcast title, like to just kind of like chat about some of the like weird moments we had, or like run-ins with hangers on, or like a conversation we had with a stylist, or like I'm kind of coming to this now. I don't even know if I ever really thought about this. So I mean, I feel like it kind of started me on the track of like, oh, there's something to like what it's like to be in this situation. You see it reflected in some media. There's certainly been books about what it's like to be a celebrity journalist, an entertainment reporter. There's television shows about it too. But like, I do feel like I felt like there was something unique about kind of how weird it is to capture in a novel, or like to capture, you know, I never thought about writing like personal essays about it, but that felt harder too. Like it felt like it felt more exciting, and maybe I had more freedom to kind of explore it a little bit more if it was like in a fictional setting.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where it's like a Dumois account now in this era would have like a field day with like all of your observations and all of your notes from that time. You know what I mean? Like, as I was reading it, I was thinking about how things have changed so much. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I think COVID kind of changed everything. Like, you know, celebrities still have their New York media days where they have like 7 stops in a day. They wear a different outfit for everyone, and they're hitting all the different outlets before, you know, going on a late night show or whatever at night. Like, that still happens. But I feel like it's different than it was back then, where like it was much more like kind of the short form video focus of like the, I don't know, like the different franchises every single outlet had. It was less like doing big podcast stops. Like there's just something a little bit different. And I'm curious what sort of changes in celebrity coverage, or sort of the media thing that you've, that ecosystem that you've noticed, that maybe are different from the world that you're describing in this book.
I totally agree. It's so interesting, because I do think I started at Vanity Fair in like 2013.
Uh-huh.
I remember even at that point, this is sort of tangential, but like similar vein to what you just were asking about. It's like, we would have cover subjects that would spend days with the subject. Like, it'd be like really famous people, and it would be like, they'd be on the cover of the magazine, and whoever was writing the story would get like just access that like no one gets now. It would just be like, they would go to their like vacation home. They would like, you know, there's a few famous GQ profiles. I feel like, you know, like the Chris Evan ones, where like the reporters were like hanging out with their subject for like a weekend. Like, it just was like such a different, and we didn't have at all what you're describing now, obviously, the like kind of hot ones, chicken shop date, podcast circuit that now feels kind of like the standard. Like, when a celebrity they promote, they do that. Maybe you see them do like a cover, but if they do, it's like very clear reading between the lines that there was like a 45-minute Zoom.
It was like a lunch. Yeah, yeah, or even a Zoom.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, and you know, like sometimes they're, you know, usually the people who write the profiles are great, and they mine stuff, and there's like interesting quotes, and like depending on who the subject is, you know, they can be fun to read. But it's like, it's just different. It's like, I do feel like there's much less, and I know this isn't like a novel point, there's just much less like need for them to like take that quote unquote risk of like having an unguarded, like, you know, long form story or like profile subject kind of situation. Cause it's like, they can go to their Instagram if they have something they really need to like communicate or say. They can like get the cute viral moments by doing the like splashy press tour or the chicken shop date, which like makes them look charming and charismatic and gets them the like, you know, Twitter threads of like, you know, whatever, like the stands are all on it. Like, I just feel like there's just such a different, it's just the game is so different now. It's like, they just don't have to kind of like play in that. Why give like, you know, big magazine reporter that much time? They don't need to. So it's like, which is sad because like for someone who loves Files, and like, you know, to me, there's nothing better than like, and I'm sure I'm guessing you are the same. Like when we were kids, like Rolling Stone profiles were like I would like literally if it was like, you know, the Britney Spears Rolling Stone profile, you're like pouring through it. Like you get those now and then. Rolling Stone still does them, but it's like, you know, it's just different somehow. You sense that the celebrities just feel more guarded about everything.
Right. Or even if they want to go long form, they go to Call Her Daddy and they don't really get pressed there. You know what I mean? Like they don't really get pressed, but it's also not really edited that much. Probably like they probably cut some things out, but ultimately like it's a free flowing conversation. And so like it's not the editorialized profile, but like, What I think is a shame is that, like, I do think when the risk pays off for a celebrity in that form, it is so beneficial. So a really good celebrity profile, again, few and far between, and that's not really on the writers. I don't think it's really on the access and all that. But like, when that hits, those get shared so much; they're everywhere, and it's not just sort of like mined for headlines and other publications. Like, people read those articles; they really do. Word of mouth and just kind of sharing.
I'm sure you've been in similar situations, but I feel like I still write not nearly as much as I did at Vanity Fair, like celebrity profiles. And when I do write them now, even I kind of feel like I just always think as much as possible, like exactly what you're saying. Like, I think it always helps the celebrity a lot to be seen as like a real person, to like talk honestly about things that are going on in their life that people are curious about, to like not shy away from like, I don't know, like just any sort, not like a scandal, but just anything that people are like curious about that maybe they don't want to like, you know, add fire to the flames kind of thing. But it's like fuel to the fire. Sorry. But like, I just feel like there's something that's like everyone's a little bit reticent and hesitant and kind of sense that. And I feel like exactly what you're saying, when there's a profile that like breaks through and you sense like a real rawness or some sort of like, oh, like, this feels like someone I like know, or like a person that, you know, I feel like those always do break through and help the celebrity a lot. Like, so I do think they're maybe shifting a bit in that direction that we're like alluding to, where I'm starting to sense that maybe people are getting tired of the like kind of more sanitized.
Or like the two celebrities talking to each other and that.
Oh yeah. Where you don't learn anything. And it's like, why even, you know, it's fun for the one moment of like, no, you know,
they talk about Real Housewives or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or something that's like unexpected or kind of whatever. But it's like, you never really end up feeling like you're gleaning that much, or there's not much at stake, quote unquote. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like, but I get the sense, maybe I'm wrong, or just like wishful thinking, that like they're starting to catch on to that. Maybe there's like, you know, more to be gained that they're leaving on the table a little bit, if like they kind of thought about things a little different.
Yeah, I hope so. Another thing that I think has changed a lot since sort of that era, and you wrote this article for Vanity Fair about the Kardashians in like 2016, I think. And like
Kim tweeted that. I remember very well. It was so exciting for me when Kim tweeted it.
And that's amazing. And I think that like, and the article is essentially about like sort of the sort of utility of the show for that family, like why does Keeping Up with the Kardashians still exist? And it was sort of like to provide this behind the scenes look at the big stories. And it was like, that was very much what that was. And that's what Keeping Up, that's what it was thriving off of in that era. And like, I think for Kim to tweet it shows that like she understood too, which I think is really honestly like to her credit, honestly, because she could have been in denial about that. Like, I think it's great.
Self-aware. Yeah.
Totally. But like now it's a different show. It's literally a different show. It's called The Kardashians. And I'm curious, as somebody who clearly studied them a lot back then, what you think about the show now and where they are as a family now.
This is so exciting to talk about this. I feel like I like text my friends about this. I never get like adding to discuss this stuff. Yeah, it's so interesting. I actually hadn't really kind of like put it all together until we're talking about this now, but it does sort of, the trajectory of the show mirrors what we're talking about, I think, in the greater celebrity ecosystem, which is like, okay, so I guess my preface is that I don't know, it's like a genetic thing. I'll always like be interested in what they are doing on TV. Like, it's like
you and me both.
Like I'm still watching. I think I'm like two episodes behind, but I'm basically like I'm there. Like, I'm not gonna like stop watching. I have friends who have stopped. Like, I feel like there's something, maybe it's like a, you know, some cost thing where you're in it this far. It's like, but I do really feel like they are interesting and charismatic and emblematic to me of a certain like notion of celebrity in this country that like I just kind of am always going to be fascinated by. And I think they're funny. I think the like I have two younger brothers. I know you have siblings as well that you're close to. I just feel like there's something about the like sibling dynamic that really like awakens me. Just like seeing how they interact with each other, like usually even the small things, I'm always kind of like, oh, that like is weirdly very reminiscent to how me and my brother interact about something. That all said, what you said is definitely true. I think that when I wrote that piece, what was it, 2016 you said?
I think it was 2016. Yeah, I went back and looked.
Like, because that was the era of like, I do think that was doing them a great service, because it was like, there was so much being written about them, and there still is obviously, but it was even, I think, it was, they were even
more so back then.
Or like,
well, it was like the pregnant, it was Chloe and Kylie pregnancies. It was the big Yeezy show at Madison Square Garden with like the Kanye and Lamar of it all. It was the robbery. It was,
oh my God, the robbery.
It was Chloe and Tristan a little later, but like that was the era where they had a scandal every month.
And it was just like the show gave them this really rare, unique kind of ability to share. What I think they found this like kind of bizarre way of like straddling, where like it felt like they had, obviously they controlled the show, like they didn't really have to show you anything that like they didn't want to show you, or like they were executive producers, but yet it would always felt like you were seeing stuff you, like, you quote unquote weren't supposed to see, or it was like somehow, you know, like the kind of like tense behind the scenes moment before like a, like Kanye's concert, or like something in the delivery room before like Chloe's gonna have her kid. I don't know. Just like you always felt like you were getting stuff that was like, oh wow, like kind of surprised.
They left us in. Right.
Like, yeah, exactly. And like obviously they were savvy about that. And like I do think, you know, they're really, really good at, I still think they have this sense of like what people want to see. Like I think they get it, which I think is what makes it sometimes a bummer now, because it feels like, so I think what you're alluding to is like the show feels so much more varnished now. It's like you're not getting, I've been a little encouraged. I feel like there was a few things this season where I was like, oh, like it definitely, it's nowhere near it was before, but you know what it was, that scene where it was like after that kind of like crazy prolonged Lamar reunion.
Right. Oh my God. That lasted 8 hours long.
It was like tense and hard to watch, but like interesting. I feel like there was that scene after where it was like Chris, Kim, and Chloe just like kind of vibing and like chatting in the living room. Like, this is the stuff I like. Like, it was kind of, and it wasn't that it was so, you know, it wasn't like we're getting like such amazing like details or dirt, but it was like, it just was like interesting. It reminded me of the old days a little bit, because it was like, oh, you were starting to see a bit more of like them dissecting something, or a little bit of like how to play something after it happens, or like, or just like the way they were like talking to Chloe and like kind of like, you know, like it reflecting on the Lamar like inner weirdness. Like, I just feel like there was something there. I was like, okay, this is like more of this, like less of the like, let's see. I mean, I love seeing the Met Ball stuff. I love seeing like the big events, but it's like, it can start to feel like a little bit too, I don't know.
Like, no, I agree. And like, I will always watch the show.
Yeah, what's your take? Yeah.
I will always watch the show, because I still think that, like, I mean, you mentioned the little things in terms of like the sibling dynamics. Like, I still think that obviously they're controlling everything that's coming onto the show, but like, I still think that if you can read into some of the little things that are in there, and like whether what that really is telling you about like the reality of them. Not that I think they're showing us something that is not their reality. I just think that they are increasingly leaving stuff out of the show. And like we haven't had like relationship updates in a substantial way about Kim on the show, about Chloe on the show, about Kendall or Kylie on the show in years. I don't really know why, to be honest, because I feel like maybe there's just like nothing substantial for them to latch onto, or like they don't want to like, but especially with Kim, I'm like, you know what keeps it, what keeps the machine going. You know that like you have to give us some of these little tidbits, and maybe they just don't have to, and they know people, they have like probably the sustained viewership that like will always tune in, and they will always have their sort of level of influence, even though it's less than it used to be. They'll still never lose that influence completely. So if they don't have to give you the relationship update and they can still make the machine go, maybe that's preferable to them. Probably is. But yeah, it's like I simultaneously acknowledge that the show gives less and less, but maybe it makes it even more fun to sort of mine for those.
I know, we're so desperate for the scraps.
I know, it's embarrassing.
But I agree with you that like it's confused, or I'm surprised we haven't, because it always, like, I feel like Kim, Chloe, and Courtney, I mean, Kendall and Kylie are obviously on the show, but they're always like less the drivers.
Yeah, they're friends of, yes.
Yeah, so, like, Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, that's perfect. But like, I do feel like, so like, it does not surprise, I mean, I would love to see, like, I'm dying to see like what it's like when Timmy's like over at the house hanging mm-hmm. with Jenner and Kylie. Like, I want to see that desperately, but I'm not surprised at all we don't get that. Because just that's how Kylie's always, I feel like, operated, and Kendall too. I am shocked, though. I agree with you that Kim isn't like, even like fake dating someone on the show.
I know.
Like, I just feel like, I think that's always been, Kim and Khloé are always historically have been like, I don't know, like
they're the most locked in too.
They get yeah. it. They like, they put in the hours. They're like really doing it for the show. And I'm just like, I feel like maybe we still will. I don't know. Didn't the teaser kind of allude to Kim saying something?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, for sure. But it's sort of like, but it's like, we probably won't get a name. You know what I mean? And like, I think that like, there's also been a couple moments where I'm like, if this was still keeping up, we would have gotten this on camera, which is like Kylie reconnected with Jordan. That was not talked about really on the show at all. And like, or we didn't see that. I would have loved to see that. You know what I mean? Like, there's another one that was coming to mind, but I feel like they're skipping over some of this stuff on the show.
But it reminds me, it's not so different, again, to like draw this comparison. Like, to me, I was going through something. Someone was, maybe it was one of the like anniversary pop bass, pop crave, like something that happened 7 years ago or something.
Uh-huh.
But it was reminding me of, there's like just, it was so much more carefree how celebrities posted on social media. Like you would just see like relationship moments, or maybe it was like Ariana and Pete Davidson even, where I was like, oh, like, because remember how they used to like post together? And like,
yeah.
I think it's so rare now we get a major celebrity even posting like the slightest, even flirtatious comment anymore. Like, I just feel like no one posts anything, it seems like. Like, you, like reality stars is different to me. And like,
it's different, yeah.
But I feel like the kind of like core pop girls and the kind of like actor and actresses like never do that anymore.
Oh my God, that's why the internet like freaks out whenever Rihanna comments anything, because it's like,
yeah,
back to the old days with Rihanna like on her Twitter, or like Miley like used to be so good on social media. It's actually crazy how little the Kardashians even post like personal stuff on their Instagram stories that isn't just like Kim in her closet going through new Skims collections. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's where, because I think some people argue the show shouldn't even exist anymore. They don't need it. It's like, they have 400 million Instagram followers.
Yeah,
like,
well, yeah.
But I always think that they need the central vehicle of the show, because it gives them a place to come together in one place. It's sort of a central thing. And also for some of them, like Khloé, for example, she gets so flattened by the media coverage of her, where it's like, back with Tristan, or like she photoshopped her photo, or like lost a lot of weight, whatever. That's all she gets covered in. So it's sort of like on the show, you're reminded, oh, Khloé's really funny, Khloé's really dynamic, Khloé's a really good sister, really good mom. Like, it shades them out. You know what I mean? Which I think they need that. I think they always need that.
I completely agree with you. And I don't know why this just came to mind, but I don't know if you're like a TikTok influencer person, but like I'm really in on Alex Earl. Like, I've just been like,
okay.
Really, I don't even know how it started with me and her.
Interesting.
Me and her.
You and but her. Like, your parasocial like, relationship.
Maybe it was like when Alex Cooper first signed her for Unwell. Okay. I was like, I mean, I watched Call Her Daddy. You know, I used to watch it more. If it's like, I always watch it if it's like a guest I'm into. But like, I feel like I was like, oh, I don't know. There's something about her. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like intrigued. Following
very
her.
Watchable.
Now I'm very parasocial with her. I feel like a little. It's like, somehow though, she... like that is giving like what you're describing with Khloé, where it's like, I feel like because you don't get that now from that many of the major celebrities, it's like, I feel like it's like, that's where I go to.
That's before. Why Alex gets built. Has
yes,
gotten
exactly. Big. Cause she's giving right. you a lot. Like, I know, like I know what she's doing every day. Like,
right.
I feel like it's just a different, she updates you. You know what's happening in a relationship. You know what's happening in her friendships. You know, like if she's having like a weird moment with like her family, like it's just, it's a reality show in a weird way, maybe. Like just the way
she
posts so frequently, she's giving you so much information and like you're seeing them all, they're like characters in her show. But like it to me is like what you're missing, and like what Khloé is able to do with the show is sort of similar to that. I feel like it's like if she didn't have that, you're right, it would just be the kind of like
yeah.
good American Instagram post.
Yeah,
it would be
literally.
And yeah. like and like the, as you're saying, the like kind of weird tabloid coverage. So it would be kind of like, what would she be? Like, how would she be able to like communicate? So yeah, I think for someone like that's her version. That it totally makes sense to me. I agree with you that like they want to keep the show for that reason. And like I'm happy they do. But I just kind of feel like it's like
yeah.
hard. I get why like Courtney doesn't want. I feel like they all have different. I don't know if you really want to get
into different. They all have different boundaries.
Yes, fully, which makes it tricky. I feel like because some of them. I feel like Chloe honestly would maybe.
I think Chloe and Kim have the least boundaries in general. They're more, but like, I totally agree. And yeah, I think what you're getting at with Alex Earl kind of also explains why, like, I feel like, and maybe this is just my bubble, but like, I do feel like Real Housewives, like whenever it's like mentioned by like any celebrity or whatever, it's like picked up and it gets all the coverage. And I think it's a similar effect where it's like, we know so much about these women. They put their lives out there. Like, we know everything. And like, it's increasingly different from what A-list celebrities give us. That's why I leaned into this as a career path, because when I would interview like Hillary Duff or somebody, and like, that was like such a thrill for me. But like, 10 minutes with Hillary Duff is much less valuable in terms of content than 10 minutes with Dorinda Medley. You know what I mean? And so like, and so I think that's the same effect as the Alex Earl thing. And the other thing is like, Alex Earl and Alex Cooper, they recently had this like weird thing where she gets dropped by, or she leaves unwell, unclear about exactly what happened there. But like, she hasn't really spoken about it publicly. And so like, all of a sudden there's this glaring thing that Alex Earl isn't speaking about, even though she shares every detail of her life, which is like, I don't know, that means that she's gotten maybe to a certain threshold of celebrity, or like, what do you make of like her not really?
No, totally. And I do think because I was so curious about that too. And then I was like looking through comments and everyone was just like, Alex, when are you going to talk about the unwell? Everyone's so zeroed in, exactly for the reason you're describing, of like, wow, like when you share so much, that is the risk of like, you're putting yourself out there in this like kind of, you know, vulnerable-ish way. And I think that, you know, I feel like this even happens in her like relationship, I've noticed too. If like she isn't like with, you know, Braxton, her boyfriend, right, for like 48 hours, people will start commenting. So, and I'm sure that does, I don't know if it gets to her, I have no idea, but like I imagine that's part of her like calculus of like what she's doing now, which maybe has shifted things for her a bit, which is a bummer, because you could see this like with what we've been describing happening to her in like a year, where like she's like, you know what, like, now this is getting like a little annoying that like everyone is kind of like, you know, if I don't mention something, everyone's gonna be on me, or if like I don't share Braxton for like 48 hours, people like maybe she'll have the trajectory.
It turns into the Kardashian thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it might be like, you know, a different scale of things, but it's like, I could see that. I think you do see that on some small level with a lot of these people. Like, it's like they'll like start posting a lot, they'll get a lot of followers, like they'll, you know, their TikTok, so they're like shared everywhere, and then after they reach a certain level of like fame or attention, they can like, for different reasons, and I totally get it, they're like, this is a lot, like, so they kind of can like scale it back, or they choose how much they're going to share in a different way and modulate it. And like, often it's like the reason they were like, I think, successful in the first place has more to do with
exactly
you know, so it's like it's tricky. I get
it's hard. Yeah, like Julia Fox is on the similar thing. It's like she broke out and she was so authentic and forthcoming and like just transparent about everything. And now she like barely posts anything online. And it's like, I still love her. No, she doesn't have to. And she's doing movies and things. So she's like leveling up. But I wish that more of them wouldn't lose that sort of core initial appeal of why people kind of related to them in the first place. It's, and listen, it's easier said than done in our positions, but like, I don't know.
That's the thing. I get it. It's funny now, even like it's so different, but like, I'm so used to interviewing people, and now writing a book, I'm on the like flip side of it. And like, you know, it's so fun getting to talk to people like you about like shared passions and stuff like that. But it definitely does make me realize on such a smaller scale than any of the people we're talking about. But on, in a similar vein, it's like, you do start to think a little bit about like, oh, like how much, like, I know this is so stupid, but yesterday I was thinking like, oh, like I see why, like it's kind of like celebrities like start saying the same thing in every interview, or they start like, or they have like their talking point that they'll kind of like, and it's not even so much, I think, that it's like, quote unquote, easier. It's more that it's just kind of to be that vulnerable and kind of like off the cuff. It's anxiety inducing a little bit. Yeah. It's like you're sharing a part of yourself. It's like a little scary. It's like, it's not, you're not sure if someone's going to receive it or if they're going to get what you're saying. So like, it's just interesting. Like, I think I always, obviously as an interviewer on some level, knew that that was the case, but it was like, it's just been interesting. I'm getting a little even more insight to it now, where I'm like, I'm Watch What Happens Live, which actually, which was last week. And I remember being like, oh my God, like, what question am I going to get asked? And like I was like asking the like publicists with me, like if they could like find out the question in advance. We couldn't, but like, it was just like, I definitely was like wanting, it's scary to like not know what you're going to be asked, or like to not be on camera and be like, it's live and like, I'm going to be asked something. And like, so I don't know. It's been interesting. I kind of am like getting a different, I see why maybe some of these people at a certain point are like, you know what? Like, this is like exhausting to have to like, deal with.
Right.
Or, like, I'd rather just do like a Hot Ones chicken shop date, which are maybe, you know, in their own way can be stressful, but like, it's just like a different thing.
It's a format that we're all familiar with and we know what to expect
out
of it.
Yeah, it's more like an acting role in a bit for that, I think, yeah.
Sure.
It's just having to like be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
One person I want to ask you about, that's sort of going the different direction in some ways, is Meghan Markle, who comes out with this show, and sort of in the lead up to it, she was, again, they're not like super like, you know, they don't tell you that much, but like she's been posting like a lot on her Instagram story that's pretty much like here's what I'm doing today, like there's videos from my backyard, videos from the Invictus Games, like kind of stuff that other celebrities of her caliber are not posting. And like, she's almost in this era right now of like sort of re-personalizing herself for people, like reintroducing herself to people. And I think it's almost the opposite of what we're talking about in some ways.
That's so true. I hadn't really thought about it like those terms, but you're totally right. I haven't watched the show yet, which I'm very curious to watch. I'm curious to like see that, but I think the social media is like what I've been waiting for, kind of. Like, I remember when she started dating Harry, I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, because like I wasn't so familiar. I mean, like, I knew vaguely her name from Suits and stuff, but I was like, oh my God, like this actor is dating like a prince. It's like such a crazy like story. And I was like, and Julie and I on our podcast would be like obsessed with like looking through her like old Instagrams and the way she shared. And like, I'm sure you've seen all of her like the posts when she like used the TIG and like her recommendations for travel and like her posts with her friends. And like, and I was like, oh my God, like we're gonna get this. And it totally makes sense. I get it. And now that I've like know a lot more about the situation and like dating a royal, whatever, that she had to like completely shut
down everything.
But I was like, that's what she's so like, that you can tell that's like where her heart is. That's like what she loves doing. And like, and she's good at it. And like, I think people obviously are just innately curious about her in even a crazier way now. But like, I was like waiting for this. I really thought even after they left the royal family in like 2020, whatever, that like, it was like, I was like, oh my God, now she can like be on, like, I don't even know. I thought I saw the podcasts coming a little bit. Maybe I was like, oh, I could see that. But like, I think this makes sense for her. Like, I just feel like it's sort of what she should be doing, I feel like. When I saw the Instagram stories the other day, I was like, okay, great. Like, I don't know. I assume after the show finishes, I assume she's going to like keep this up, I think, it seems like. But I know the brand, like, I think she's been like a few years, right? But like, I think this seems like the right move for where she's at, because it's sort of like, it's almost what we were saying, again, I'm really trying to like draw the comparison to. But I feel like it's sort of what we were saying Chloe has. Like, I think, like, Meghan kind of, without that platform to, like, talk on Instagram or, like, have her show, was letting, you know, a lot of people write about Meghan all
story.
The time. You see the craziest stuff everywhere about her. And, like, you know, I'm sure it's so frustrating and insane to have to be them and to see, like, the stuff that gets written. All these people. I always think it's so interesting. Like, when I started at Vanity Fair in particular, I was writing a lot about the royals and, like, I was thinking it was so interesting. Like, I didn't even know what Kate Middleton's voice sounded like when I first started.
Oh my God. I didn't know, like, for like 6 years.
Yeah. Literally. And I was like, it's so interesting. These people are so, Meghan's different because she came from outside of it. But like Harry, William, and Kate, I was always like, it's so interesting that like they're so discussed and so covered, but like they don't ever like speak to us.
They're just photos.
Yeah, like they're just appearances. They're just like them shaking hands at their like weird roundabout formal things and their like beautiful coats. Like, so it's like, it just was always such an odd, and it was so different, especially when I was first writing about them in like 2014, 2015. I was like, wow, this is not at all like American celebrities that like I was like obsessed with. So it was just very different. And I do think that's what was hard for Megan is my, I mean, I have no idea, but it seems like that's what was tough for Megan, like going into this situation where no one can like really like communicate to the anyone really. You're like trapped there sort of. So I feel like this makes sense to me that she's doing this route now. I feel like I'm like, yeah, okay, like where she should be. And like, I don't know. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I think a lot of people don't even realize she had the tig before. This was this was sort of like her bread and butter before she started dating Harry. And like, so I'm glad that it's, people are being reminded of that. And it's also just like, I've watched half the show and like, yeah, like, is it, it's like kind of out of touch. It's a little bit of a mess in terms of like what she really wants to like convey. I think that I think she's almost probably have like decision anxiety in terms of like how she should be presenting herself to the world, what was the right thing to do here and there. But like, ultimately, I'm glad she's just sort of like jumping off and doing it. And she'll like fine tune it, I think. But I think it's just so funny that like, it's such an innocuous show. It's like literally like a chuggy millennial lifestyle show that we've seen probably like 50 times before. Like there's not, she's easy to watch and she's has good taste and she knows what she's doing, but like, and she's not really presenting herself as an expert. She's presenting herself as sort of like a self-taught amateur enthusiast of these things. But the fact that this show and the content of it is so triggering for people and it's making people so angry and like, and the headlines it's making, I'm just sort of like, she can't win really. And like, again, it's not the best show, but it's not the worst show. It's just so, to me, it's so inoffensive. And it's just, it kind of captures her sort of the catch 22 that is Meghan Markle in 2025, which is like, she can't really win.
You get why though. It's like, I think it really is. I mean, she's on such a different scale of this and it's like magnified, she's magnified in such a different way, but it's sort of why I think so many of them celebrities don't want to be posting that or don't want to like, why give material for people to comment on? It's like hard. Like, I think it is, I feel like there's so few things that get like well received. I don't know, just like everyone's
It's like people can find issue with anything.
Yeah. And like, and I always, I mean, I don't know if it's like just kind of getting a bit more, I don't know. Does it come with age? I don't even know what.
Like, early 30s, baby.
Yeah, early 30s. I'm just like, I feel like maybe I was more like snarky about stuff a little bit in my 20s about stuff. But I'm like, now I just kind of like, why is everyone like they just enjoy it or don't? Like, I don't know. Like, I find it like, we love commentating. It's like, you know, we love, I love people who comment on pop culture, like, you know, honestly and like articulately and kind of like in an interesting way. But like, when people are just like negative without any like insight, or if they're like, or just kind of like, I feel like there's so much of like
uninformed.
A pylon thing happens now with like, I remember like the whole J-Lo thing last year.
Oh my God, that was crazy. And then
like, but also I was like very confused. I was like, I don't even understand. Like this is someone who like is such a like constant entertainer, is like just constantly trying to like make stuff for us to enjoy. Like, she's truly just like, like, what is she doing? Like, she's just like, you know, and then like, but like the way that kind of, there's kind of this bandwagon of like, I don't know, I just find it so, and I see how society in like so many different ways, it's like represented in some of these things. So there's like, you know, there's darker context in so many different ways.
Course.
Like, but it's definitely like depressing. I'm like, if I was J-Lo, I'd be like, what the hell? Like, this is
like let me go be a hermit. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, why? Like, she has, like, she doesn't need to be doing this. And like, so it's kind of that part of it depresses me. I don't know.
But I do sense in this, there's so much dark shit happening in this country. And like,
it's all tied together. Kind of.
It is all tied together. And I do sense in this sort of like, in this second Trump era, a lot of celebrities and famous people are being a lot more brazen and like open about like being on that side of the aisle, or at least you know what I mean? And like, one kind of silver lining of that potentially in this ecosystem that we're talking about could be people just sort of leaning back into like being really forthcoming and honest about things if they're celebrities. Cause like, I mean, cause some people are coming out as like Elon supporters and things like that. And like, it's not really impacting their bottom line, I don't think. And like, if that's the case, then like, why not just be messy again? Like, you know what I mean? So like, maybe that is a little bit of an after effect that we could be watching. I don't know. That's just, maybe that's wishful thinking.
No, I feel like I want us to have this exact same like symposium. I want us to like meet again in like 6 months or something.
Literally.
I do feel like there's gonna be. I feel like it's when was the inauguration? Yeah, so we're like 2 months.
2 months ago.
I like was losing all sense, especially with my book coming out. I'm like, what day is it? But anyways, but it's like definitely gonna be interesting. I agree with you. I can't really predict. I think you're right. It does. I don't know. Yeah, I want to see. I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we have Katy Perry and Gayle King going to space, and they're streaming all the Trump shows now. It's just sort of like wild.
Is that gonna be filmed, by the way? Is there like a reality show?
I would hope so. I would watch it, which is the sad part. So
I know.
Well, looping it back to early 30s, this is out in a week, and you told me before we got on that Kaia Gerber has chosen it for her book club. She has a book club, correct? Tell me about that. And you're going to be doing something with her later this month, I think.
I'm super excited. Library Science is Alyssa Reeder and Kaia Gerber's book club. They are, I think it started about 2 years ago now. And they have been doing really cool stuff. Kaya's been fantastic. She's like been such a supporter of the book. And actually, the post literally up this morning, so you're catching me right off the announcement. But Kaia and I will be, I don't know, we haven't like announced exactly the contours of it, but we're going to be like talking about the book, which will be really exciting. And at least part of it will be shared on Kaya's Instagram. And actually, Kaia posted on her Instagram today the like initial post about the book, which was super, it was like really fun carousel. And it was really fun to see what the Library Science team picked out as the like Kaia and Alyssa earmarked a few like quotes, it looked like, and like they highlighted a few lines, which was fun, and it's all in the carousel. So it's exciting. Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's funny to be having like, it feels like we sold the book a year and a half ago. And it's I'm so used to the metabolism, I'm sure you are, of like you record a podcast, it comes out next week, like you write an article, it goes up the next day. Like it's just so different with a book. And like, and I feel like the biggest thing I've learned is just it's such a long process. Like I worked on it for 3 years, then we sold it, and a year and a half later it's now coming. I remember being like, speaking of the election, I remember being like, we sold the book at the end of 2023. I'm like, I'm gonna have two birthdays and the election before my book comes out.
That's wild.
And now it's happened, which felt, and because like March 2025 felt like this like science fiction time in the future. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of things like this in life, but it's like, wait, that like went by also like really quickly too. It's like, oh, now all of a sudden it's like coming out. But yeah, it's exciting. So I'm excited.
That is exciting. And honestly, to have like a celebrity book club endorsement of the book, it's kind of like a full circle
very
thing
fitting
for you, you know, like that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of very appropriate for this book.
I'm so thrilled. And also, I feel like that's going to be really fun when like when Kaia and I discuss the book about like how that it's just like the perfect, well, I don't know, full circle is not the right word, but you know what I mean? It's like,
but it's the other perspective, because in this book, Victor's talking about who comes into the office and who is interviewing and all these different things. And like, she's that person.
she's the
other person, you know? Well, congratulations on the book. It's obviously with such a long gestation period for something like this, you have to feel really proud of yourself and just excited. And it's gonna be great. It's gonna be really great. People
really
love it.
You're really my dream reader, Gibson. I feel like your background, your interests, I was like really like thinking like, oh, this is like, if Gibson likes this, I know I did something right. So I'm
happy. My god, like, and I really loved it and I really related to it. So I think that you hit the nail on the head. Well, Josh, thank you so much. Everyone get Early 30s, March 18th. Or pre-order it now, because I have the pre-orders.
Oh, yeah. Pre-order
pre-orders
now.
Pre-orders really matter. I know that.
Yeah. I'm told pre-orders are the thing. So.
That's the word on the street that I hear, too. So everyone do that. And Josh, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Gibson. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.